Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Just before we talk HIV, Trudy asking on the SMS line, is there any news on the Shell case? Trudy, it hasn't happened yet. The urgent interdict that has been sought is only being heard at 20 past 2 this afternoon, I think it was, in the Grahamstown High Court. So I know John is working on setting up follow-ups on for his show this afternoon. There will certainly be some coverage of what has happened in court. But yeah, we can't report anything as yet because the case has not been heard. It's only going to start, if it starts on time, just after 2 o'clock this afternoon. So please just stay with Cape Talk for more on that story. For now, it is World AIDS Day today. And rather than doing another interview about HIV statistics, as a show team, we thought let's rather give the virus a human face. Let's talk about the experience of living with HIV in South Africa in 2021. And when we looked for somebody to talk to, we didn't have to look far because during our show last week, commemorating the death of Freddie Mercury 30 years ago, one of our listeners actually reached out to me by email talking about some of his experiences and reflecting on Freddie's life and death. And he was very frank in what he wrote to me that day, and clearly somebody who believes in sharing and talking about HIV. Unlike Freddie Mercury, he, of course, survived to witness the new dawn of hope as treatment options became available and then improved, and HIV became a manageable chronic disease rather than the death sentence it was initially. And I read his email and thought, that's a story I want to hear in more detail. So I've invited him to join us on the show today to share it with us. Jaco Lorenz is a local businessman who's been living with the virus for more than 20 years. His husband is also HIV positive and has been living with the virus for more than 30 years. Living very well and healthily, I should add. It is a great, great pleasure to welcome Jaco to the show today. And Jaco, thank you so much for accepting the invitation to join us on air. I only wish you could be with us here in studio in person.
Hi, Tipper. Thank you very much. It would have been lovely, but we know we live in a COVID area again. But it would have been nice.
Here we are again. But anyway, thank you for the phone conversation at least. Jaco, let's go back to the time before your diagnosis. Do you remember when you first heard about HIV? Maybe perhaps before it had even been given that name. What do you remember about as the news started reaching you that something was going on?
I matriculated in 1990, so it was just after that I started working my very first job. And a friend of mine came up to me and said to me, have you had your gay test yet? And I looked at him and smirked and said, well, I thought I passed that a couple of years ago because I came out quite early. And it was known as the gay test.
Wow.
We would find out that later on it became the HIV test. So I haven't heard from it about it.
Sure. 1990. Okay. And I mean, Jaco, at the time, so little was known. There was so much stigma, so much fear. Even medical professionals afraid to treat patients, so much anxiety about how it was transferred and who could pass it on. I mean, back then, at that time, in the early 1990s, did it ever occur to you that you might be at risk of catching it?
Not at all. When I was in school, we were taught to use condoms to not to get a girl pregnant. And again, I'm a gay man, even in high school, so that never applied to me.
Yeah.
So when I contracted HIV, I seroconverted a week ago, which means when the virus takes over your body and infects your body. My doctor at the time slapped me on the wrist for me having unprotected sex and treated me with antibiotics and a very bad cold and flu, and that was it. And I lived with HIV for about, I think, 4 years until I met my first partner, and unknowingly I infected him with HIV. So I've been living with the disease all the time, and I didn't even know it.
Well, Jaco, unknowingly infected a partner who would go on to develop full-blown AIDS and lose his life to it. Jaco, that must have been a devastating experience for you, particularly, I know you were still a very young man at the time.
I think I was 26 or 27. He passed away at home because he didn't want people to know he's got AIDS. He asked me to tell people that he's got colon cancer, which I did. And our doctor, confidentially, even wrote in his death certificate that he passed away from a heart attack.
Wow.
So his family still today doesn't know that he died from AIDS. And as it had to be, he died on my birthday, which I found out a couple of days later when I checked my messages, people wishing me happy birthday, and it happened to be that day.
Jaco, I mean, and It must have been incredibly difficult for you to grieve your partner, given all the secrecy around that. I mean, it speaks to the level of stigma that existed, certainly at that time, and I think still to a large extent today. What was it like for you trying to process what had happened, trying to grieve such a massive personal loss without being able to talk to anybody about it?
It was very difficult because I couldn't go to someone and say, listen, I have HIV. At that stage, I was also full-blown AIDS. My CD4 was only 99 at the time he passed. And I couldn't really go to people and say, or my family. I said, listen, I have a problem. How do I deal with this? But I think as I get older, and I'm almost 50, I care less about people think about me. That's why I'm so open to talk to you about this. I can't change my HIV status, but people can change their minds and how they approach it and deal with it. So it was a process.
Yaku, part of the process for you was the process of finding treatment, and the treatment got better and better. As we said last week, Wednesday, the tragedy of Freddie Mercury's loss was that if he'd held out a couple more years, treatment would have been available that might have saved his life and he might still be with us and singing. For you, I know you've been through many iterations of different treatment regimes, and in the early days, that was not an easy thing. The side effects were terrible. It required, I know, huge amounts of handfuls of tablets with very strict regimes around when they were taken and what food they were taken with and all of that. Do you want to talk us through a little bit what the process of treatment has been like for you and how it's changed in the ensuing years?
Absolutely. In the beginning, I was with the trial times at the Somerset Hospital. We would take between 25 and 28 tablets a day.
Sure.
And again, as you said, you had to take it certain days after meals. Thank you to the scientists and the doctors and everyone who worked on the ARV. Today, I only take one tablet in the morning. So my side effects are way less. All the heavy taking of all the ARVs did take a toll on my body. I still have one or two effects that still is part of my life, but that is life. So today, the medication is better and the side effects are less. And today, it is a more manageable disease.
And treatment continues to progress. Yaku, I saw last week that the NHS in the UK has approved an injection-based treatment that people are only going to have to take a couple of times a year, for example. It just continues to progress. The one thing that hasn't happened, though, of course, is the development of a vaccine. Is it something that you hope to or expect to see happen during your lifetime?
It would be nice. It would be nice for other people, who's obviously not yet infected or who has been infected. The biggest thing that I found in my lifetime and talking to other people with HIV is the fact that you have to take all those tablets. People, they want to do it. They're scared of it. I think perhaps an injection, as you say, maybe once a year or twice a year, it'll be fantastic. It'll be like a vaccine that we all need to take.
I'm talking to Yaku Lawrence, who is a Cape Talk listener, talking to us about living with HIV in South Africa in 2021. You've described what it was like in the early days, Yaku, and that would have been at the peak of the AIDS denialism era, where there was so much standing in the way of this kind of frank conversation that we're having today. Now, I know you've said part of it is getting older and realizing that you just have stopped caring what people think. But what about society at large changing around you? Do you, for example, find that you still experience stigma today? Even you've decided you don't care, you're going to talk about it anyway, but do you still receive backlash when you talk about it?
Sometimes when I meet new people, and forgive me for saying this, if they're very religious, they immediately see a gay man, and if they find out you're HIV positive, that could be a bad thing. But very little. The circles that I enjoy, and it's quite a broad circle of friends, all of them know I have HIV. Why? Because I'd rather share it than hide something away again. We don't need to lie. We don't need to hide things away from other people. So, Papa, if we became friends, one of the first things you know about me is I'm a bad cook and I have HIV. And also, your compassion that you would share towards me makes things lighter. You have a problem, you go and talk to someone. Mm. I have a problem, I live with HIV, and it's for me the second nature just to share it with you.
Yeah. Yaki, you wrote in that email last week that you and your partner, your husband, sorry, actually leave your ARVs out in the kitchen. That's that if people come to visit, they can ask you about them. You can have a conversation with them. You clearly believe very much in using your own personal knowledge to help inform others about this. And you seem quite proud of that. Between the two of you, I know you're both healthy as we speak and living very open lives. Do you feel like you are making a difference with that approach, that you are having people walk away going, now that I've met Yaku, I understand this disease a little bit better?
I definitely think so. We have a friend who's been spending a lot of time with us, and I told her a little while ago that I'm HIV positive, and look, there's our ARV standing out there. One, because we tend to forget sometimes that we need to take our meds. So it's right near where we cook, and so you always get reminded. But with her, she obviously didn't know about this, so it was an initial shock, but then it's also a conversation starter that I'm living with HIV, and also I educate people about HIV and the use of the good use of the ARVs.
Yaki, what would you say are the biggest misperceptions that still exist that you encounter when you have these conversations?
That it's only a gay disease. I've been told before that it's only a black disease, which it isn't, obviously. And the fact that I am a sickly person and sharing cutlery with someone would have been a big no-no. And people do educate themselves, and they are well equipped with knowledge. And I feel that it does change people's perceptions of he's a normal-looking man, healthy, happy, and living with HIV, and it can be done. It's no more a death sentence.
You must have, though, along the way, had a lot of people inflict hurt, either intentionally or unintentionally, through ignorance. Yaku, you've obviously got to a place where you've worked out how to process that. But how have you done that? I mean, particularly in the early days, as you yourself were trying to make peace with your diagnosis and find a way to learn to live with the disease. What was that like for you?
Difficult. Yeah, that's a difficult question to answer, but I'm going to try my best. When you've met someone, and I've met people who I've had contact with, and I had to go and tell them, listen, I am HIV positive. We have had sexual contact. Please go, or let me go with you to get tested. And one person came back to me and said to me, you gave me AIDS. That was a reality that really struck with me. And the use of condoms obviously came up, and it's an internal battle that I feel guilty that I infected that person. But you can't live with that guilt. It's going to just break you down all the time. And I helped that man through counseling. We both went through counseling, and he's also healthy, and I think he's still living today. But it is a difficult thing to come to terms with.
Again, we're speaking to local businessman Yaku Lawrence, who has been living with HIV for more than 20 years. His husband has been living with it for more than 30 years, and both happy, healthy, productive members of society as we speak today. The testing is the crucial thing, Yaku, that a lot of people choose not to test because they don't want to know the answer. They don't want to confront the reality of what might lie on the other side of that test result. Before we run out of time, I really would like to close with asking you your message to listeners about that particular predicament. I mean, do you really encourage people to know their status and to get tested?
I'll say knowledge is power in all forms of life. If you know your status, you can live a healthier life. With me, I lived for 3 years, almost 4 years, not knowing what the status is. I put other people's lives at risk. Get your test done, confirm your status, and protect yourself and those around you.
Yaku, final question then is around access to treatment. You've been lucky, obviously, to have access to treatment, and the treatment has improved over the years, as you've told us. Not everybody is that lucky, even though it shouldn't be so, because we have one of the best public health systems for treating HIV in the world. Is it something that worries you that too many people who should be and could be taking meds that would change their lives aren't accessing it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to say I can't afford medical aid, so I go to Health for Men in town, mm-hmm. and they very kindly treat me and have been treating me. And there's a lot of programs out there. There's PrEP programs. There is obviously HIV/AIDS programs, and they treat me for free. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yaku, I'm very grateful to you for sharing this with us today. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on air today. Thanks for reaching out in that initial email, and our very best wishes to you and your loved ones.
Thank you, and it's been a pleasure and an honor.
Yaku Lawrence on the line to us there, one of our Cape Talk listeners. And thank you, putting a very, I think, personal face to a story that often gets written off as a statistic. And I think it's important to hear from somebody who has lived with HIV about what that is like. If you would like to comment, if you have a family member who is going through this, if you've yourself faced that diagnosis, faced the treatment changes, and want to share your experience with us, we'd welcome your calls to 021-446-0567 or your voice note to 072-567-0567. 7-1-5-6-7.